Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to The Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh and on this week's show we talk seed, blackgrass and much more. Of course we'll have grain markets and weather reports, but in the meantime we'll talk new high standards in seed, the growing problem of blackgrass and why tillage needs to get real on data. First, we talk fieldwork with Brendan Riley. Brendan is the president of the Irish Seed Trade Association, and of course Brendan works with Drummonds, who are based mainly in the northeast of the country. So we caught up with Brendan on Wednesday. We're recording the podcast on Wednesday evening, the 11th of January, just for your notes later on for grain prices. So we caught up with Brendan today and Brendan talked about crop condition, seed availability and of course seed price, which is seeing a rise this year. Brendan, we've just had a great seminar there with the Irish Seed Trade. You're president of the association this year. Coming along the road there this evening, you know, we're in the middle of January, poor weather. There's a lot of bad crops out there, but there's also a lot of good crops. I noticed plenty of nice oilseed rape crops along the way. That's one crop that's seen a massive increase in area this year. Have you seen the same up around Drummonds and in the northeast?
Yes, Siobhan, you're 100% right. There has been a huge increase in the area of winter oilseed rape, let alone in the northeast, but across the whole country.
Yeah.
And it is actually one of the crops that has survived the elements over the last 3 or 4 months and has come out well. Withstanding that, winter cereal crops, the likes of winter barley, winter wheat and winter oats are struggling.
Yeah.
And for various reasons, even crops that got planted very earlier on and got established in a way even have suffered some water logging and flooding and saturation, and maybe soil compaction also is showing up in places.
Yeah.
With saying that, overall the acreage is probably slightly back on where the trade had predicted it was due to a combination of factors that people didn't get crops all planted. They decided to pull the pin and wait to sow in better conditions later on or change to alternative spring cropping options. And historically, the guys who would have potatoes and beet and maize ground didn't all get that land planted to autumn cereals.
Yeah. And so we're looking into a spring now where there will be more spring crops. Is seed availability an issue, or are we covered for the possible increase in spring cereals?
Certainly, looking forward to the spring. The Irish Seed Trade estimates that there's ample seed supplies potentially out there for spring seed this year. We're coming off the back of high yields from the harvest of 2022. So if all that seed is assembled and gets passed and certified and meets the standards, there should be enough.
Okay.
And there's also potentially enough bean seed out there should the potential acreage increase in that also.
Yeah, and we spoke about beans and oilseed rape and we're talking about blackgrass today. So very important that we see those crops increase in acreage, not just from a price and a cost point of view, but also from a blackgrass point of view for a good rotation.
Very much so, Siobhan. Historically, in the past, a lot of bean seed was imported from Europe and even a lot from the UK. And it's only over the last 5 or 6 years that we've discussed here at the seminar today where we're made aware of the issues with black grass, not alone coming in bean seed, but other cereal seeds, especially from the UK. And the seed trade has put in place where they've actually multiplied more Irish certified seed. So most of the seed that will be available will be all Irish certified seed this year.
Yeah, excellent. Good to hear. And we've heard today and we'll hear it in the rest of the podcast as well, the high standards that seed carries. I'll finish on a tougher question, Brendan. Seed prices are a little bit higher this year again. Grain prices are higher, so seed follows that trend.
Yes, they are indeed. As I've said, we're coming off the back of an excellent year for grain in terms of yield and market prices and supports. And look, seed is just a component or a factor in the whole process. It's probably one of the cheapest inputs that you will actually put in the whole tillage sector compared to other inputs. And it provides an excellent turn on in the investment. Yes, seed prices are up, but the market finds its own level. And the industry has incurred a significant increase in costs. And farmers didn't really see that last spring when the price of grain did lift a lot 12 months ago. Seed was already in the supply chain and in the system. Whereas now we're coming off the back of the 22 harvest, the seed is there. And our energy costs have increased, our transport costs, labour costs, and insurance costs. So all those factors are contributing to the increased price of seed. But historically, it follows the market.
Yeah, a challenging year ahead, but we heard from Pádraig Brennan earlier on. He had plenty of opportunities in the sector as well, so we're gonna listen to him now in a few minutes as well. So thanks very much, Brendan.
Thank you, Siobhan.
Thanks very much to Brendan for catching up with us at the Seed Trade. And as we mentioned at the end of that interview, Pádraig Brennan also spoke at that event, and Pádraig presented on the opportunities and challenges at the seminars. Pádraig works, he has his own business, Pádraig Brennan Consultancy. So let's hear from Pádraig now. Pádraig, your presentation today, you're talking about the opportunities and challenges that are there within the tillage industry. I suppose starting on the positive, some of the opportunities are there. You mentioned the drink sector and oats as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a number of key areas, I think, within the overall food market that present opportunities for the tillage sector. I think first and foremost has to be the drink sector.
Yeah.
You look at the growth that we've seen in Irish whisky exports in particular over the last number of years. And I see earlier on this morning, the value of Irish drink exports in 2022 was nearly 2 billion euro.
Yeah.
And what Irish whisky in particular has been really successful at is establishing a premium presence for itself in key markets. Like 90% of the whisky we export that goes to the US, for example, is in the premium segment of the market. What seems to be clear is there's going to be a lot more growth in the whisky sector over the next number of years. So from a tillage point of view, then at the moment, what about 20% of Irish barley goes into the drink sector in total. As new whiskies are developing come along, can you get a higher proportion of Irish barley going into those mixes? And that will present an opportunity. Secondly, certainly we've seen a lot of growth in terms of oats from a couple of factors. Obviously, your traditional porridge oatlets, if you like, in terms of export demand, that trade has grown very strongly over recent years, and there's more room for that in markets like the UK, parts of Asia, the US, definitely. Likewise, gluten-free, organic, they're all growing segments within that marketplace. Well, and already even maybe at a slightly lower level than you'd like to see, but Irish oats has established a premium position in some of those segments already. So there is room for growth there. There's no doubt about that. Another area maybe slightly left of field, and you see some research coming through on the oat side, for example, that talks about the potential for oats to reduce methane emissions in lactating cows. Is there an opportunity there from a feed ration point of view? That's one area you'd be looking at. But the other area then, I think you look at more generally, and obviously in the context of climate action and everything, is the sustainability credentials of Irish tillage. When you look at it at a top line level, it seems to be quite strong. I suppose turning that opportunity into something that adds value to the sector is a challenge on the flip side of that.
And like that is something we hear all the time, tillage is good for the environment, it's carbon neutral. But at the end of the day, we need to prove that, and data is limited on that front. So what needs to be done there in order to make sure that, you know, that the exports continue at that level and that we have credibility behind those products?
Well, I think the main thing is, like you said, there's kind of high-level data or information available there. The first thing then is, how do you, across the growers that we have in the country, how do you get more consistent and regular data off those farms? Number one, to show the current performance in a slightly more detailed version, but secondly, and even more importantly, to show how over time further improvements and enhancements are being made. I think you just need to have a structure to collect that data and a structure to be able to report on that data, because one thing that is sure is, whatever about a policy level, from a marketplace point of view, suppliers of Irish grain and Irish cereal-based products are going to be asked for more of that information going forward. And you have two options in that case. One, you wait to be asked for that information and you're reacting. Or two, you take a proactive approach. That, right, we're going to put a system in place now to collect that data and report on that data and really try and make a positive of that for the sector. And I think that is the best way to go if you can. It's a relatively small number of growers in the overall context. Can you put a data collection system in place and not overpower farmers in terms of amount of data that's needed, but that's key data points that allows you to assess the footprint, allows you to look at things like biodiversity, soil health, things like that. That's where we need to be looking.
So urgent action needed really there, Parag. And on the drink side, you know, going back to that credibility, and you know, a lot of Irish whiskey is produced from Irish maize, and you talked in your report there about, you know, using different grains and the opportunities to increase Irish grain. How important is it that going forward that the increase in drinks exports comes from whiskey that's made from Irish grain as opposed to imported grain?
Well, I think what's really positive to see when you look at the likes of Diageo and Irish Distillers over the last while, and they're investing in the regenerative agriculture initiatives and initiatives to reduce emissions, you can see certainly a stronger onus among them to engage more with the grower base here. And I think what you're also seeing is there's new product ranges coming forward all the time. So that's the opportunity here for the Irish tillage sector. And I think for the drinks companies involved as well, there's an opportunity for them to really build on the provenance of the Irish grain that goes into those whiskies. And I think by working together now to try and plan that future and make sure there's a security of grain supply available for future Irish whiskies, now is the time to do that. And I think it's a win-win for everybody involved in the supply chain.
Well, look, Park, thanks very much, and it's great to see your research coming up here at these seminars. So we'll talk to you again, no doubt.
Thanks, Siobhan, appreciate it.
On the tillage pages this week, we have the second part of Andy Doyle's look back on 40 years in the tillage industry. And look, there's loads of reading there for everybody. I think you'll really enjoy it. This week, Andy looks at some of the changes in costs over the years. So from grain price to the cost of getting a tractor serviced, it's all in there. And just a reminder for anyone who didn't hear the podcast last week, we had a special episode looking back on 40 years in tillage with Andy, myself and Stephen Robb. And look, it's well worth a listen. Go back and tune into it if you can at all. We'll go back to the seed trade now. And I spoke to Donal Fitzgerald, and Donal had some really good news about a new higher voluntary standard that the Irish seed trade are implementing. And the Department of Agriculture, of course, are working with them on this. So Donal is going to explain that higher voluntary standard now.
Yeah, so the seed trade and the department have recognised that the vast majority of cover crop seeds that are used in mixtures or used on Irish farms are coming from imported sources. So we're bringing them in from abroad. We can't really grow them in Ireland. So the seeds of your crops like Fusilia, you know, tillage radish, fodder rape, oilseed radish, all those, they're all coming from a foreign country. And so the idea is that we will ensure that each seed lot of those that comes in as a straight ingredient will carry an Orange International Seed Testing Cert. And that's a seed cert that goes on the seed lot involved. It checks to make sure there's nothing in there that shouldn't be there. And it's given an Orange cert. And the Orange cert is the most robust way of knowing that what you're getting is what you want. And so the idea then is that we will only put ingredients into mixtures that are certified free of blackgrass or brome or wild oats or the weeds that we don't want in Irish cereal seed.
So that's a great assurance for farmers. Like, it gives them great confidence to, I mean, probably there's probably a barrier there for some people. They won't sow at the minute because maybe there's a fear that something is coming in the seed.
Yeah, well, they could have that in their head. And we suppose we want to try and, you know, get rid of that risk and get rid of that that fear. And if the department are happy to put the certified label on the bag with the harp on it, you can be sure that what's in that bag is what's supposed to be there.
And just to explain to people, so it has to have that orange label on it, and it's to members who are doing this. So it's the people who are are part of the Irish seed trade are doing this?
Yeah, so it's members of the Irish seed trade are doing this. Okay, the orange certs will be for the straits that we get. So in other words, if anyone wants to check the orange certs, we can get that to them, no problem. But the label on the bag will be a green label, the same as you have in a grass seed mixture. Mm. But it will have the HARP and it will have the lot number and it will have the traceability of who put it together. Yeah. And it will have stated ingredients and the percentage of each. Mm. So it's a green label, the same as you have in any other mixture. Okay. But now we have, I suppose, nuts and bolts behind it, and we're able to say that it is free of all those deleterious weeds.
Yeah, and I suppose there will be other seed out there that's not going to be of this standard, so people have to look out for that and, you know, look at the list of Irish seed trade members and get their seed off those people. There was a suggestion there, and John Joe Byrne from the Department of Agriculture answered it as well. You know, we have specifications under the acre scheme to grow specific mixtures in for the cover crop requirement under acres. Do you think this should be, the specifications should be widened out to include seed that doesn't include blackgrass or has got this higher voluntary standard in it?
Yeah, that would be obviously a very good initiative if it was to come to pass. I mean, certainly John Joe gave it a good endorsement there on the stage. Some of the ingredients that will go into those cover crop mixes might be, for example, oats. Yeah. That's certified and grown in Ireland.
Yeah.
And of course, that would be under the blackgrass scheme anyway. Mm-hmm. So if we can, you know, bolster that with everything else and make sure they're all on the same page, that's the way it will go. So, yeah. And in the case of, other mixtures coming into the country or other sources of seed coming from outside of the ISTA membership base, okay, that's up to the growers and the farmers. But it's a question of buyer beware. Yeah. And just, be conscious of the fact that are you willing to risk that, or are you willing to just look for the Irish cert and look for the Irish bag with the HARP on it, etc.
And thanks to Donal for catching up with us at that event. I just think that's really good that the Irish Seed Trade are taking initiative on that. And, you know, we're very lucky in Ireland really to have such an organisation. To say that we have cereal, we have zero tolerance of blackgrass and we have that higher voluntary standard coming in, that's not in the EU and the UK. So we're really lucky to have initiative going on there in the background. Now, of course, blackgrass was the main theme of that event. So very importantly, I spoke to John Mann of Chagas. And John, of course, works on the Enable Conservation Tillage Project. He's working with blackgrass all the time, going out to farmers and helping them solve problems and identify grass weeds. So we spoke to John. I suppose, first of all, John told us how to identify blackgrass in your crops and when to go out and do that.
Hi, Siobhan. I suppose, the two main timings that I would be talking about, if you're in an autumn situation, it's very important that you're able to identify it at the very small stages between the one and the three leaf stage.
Okay, okay.
You really, really need to arm yourself with a hand lens and a good weed guide, whether that be a weed app or in publication.
Yeah.
But to be able to look out for the key identification features, such as the purpling at the base of the stem, there's no hairs on the plant. It's a slender little plant with a clockwise twist on the leaf. And the second identifying feature, which is always there, there are no auricles, which are the two little flaps that wrap around the stem.
Yeah.
And then the auricle, it's where the base of the leaf reaches the stem. Always, and that's where you need your hand lens and your weed guide. That will always be of a certain length. It's quite tall, about 3 millimeters, and with a jagged edge on the top of it. So those are key identifying features at that stage. If you're unfortunate enough to think that you have blackgrass maybe in May and when it starts to appear over a crop, the head of a blackgrass, it's actually slender. Foxtail is the actual plant, but it's quite slender, quite long. It will initially be green, and at the end of May or in that May period will have anthers on it when it's at the flowering period.
Yeah.
But very quickly it goes from green during the month of June to this purpley black colour. And at that stage, literally the start of seed shed is, so you must be moving quickly. So get help, have someone identify it for you.
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? If you're not sure, you know, get that advice. Get your agronomist or your local advisor in.
Yeah, have someone check it out for you. Mm. Or what many people do, they take photographs and send it to us in the ECT project in Oak Park and Carlow as well.
Yeah.
We can check it out and then have someone locally, or if we're local ourselves, we can check it out.
So you find yourself in the unfortunate place that you have black grass, maybe you have one plant or a few plants in one patch. What do you do?
There's a zero tolerance policy, just like what we heard today on seed.
Do you spray it? Do you cut it? Like, just so people know now.
If you have a single black grass, provided it hasn't started to shed, and be very careful with it, bag it and bring it with you, because its potential even to shed as you actually pull the plant, if it's quite late in June, it can actually shed while you're actually pulling it. So just be very careful in that. If it's a situation where you have more than one plant and there's quite an amount of it that's unroguable, you have no option, only glyphosate.
Yeah.
And burn it out. Burn out the patches. Do not let the seed fall to the ground, or you're setting yourself up with a seed bank for future problems.
Yeah.
So if you're ahead of seed shedding and it's quite a large patch, people have mown it out for silage. You can make silage out of it, but just make sure that the resultant slurry or organic farmyard manure doesn't reach back onto tillage ground.
It can't be gone to seed like either. And John will detail some of the other things as well in the paper that you were going through, you know, ploughing, rotation, etc. But just, there was one slide that you put up there, was really interesting and stark, you called it, and you're right. So one plant per metre squared of black grass, and that results in how many seeds?
Well, the potential, black grass has the potential to throw up maybe 10, 15 tillers.
Yeah.
And each particular head that it throws up can have 100 plus seeds per head.
Yes.
So just doing the maths even on 10 plants per square metre, on 100 seeds per head, that's working out at about 1,000 seeds per square metre.
Yeah.
Now, the viability is give or take 60% of those seeds, so that would be 600 per square metre. And working that back to a hectare, you're talking about 6 million seeds per hectare, which, to put it in context, if you were to sow, say, 1,000 grain weight of 50 grams at a sowing rate of 150 kgs per hectare for winter wheat, you're actually only sowing about 3.5 million seeds. So you've almost doubled that amount of viable seeds from one blackgrass plant, which is stark.
Yeah. Look, John, thanks very much for that. And look, I don't think people need to hear anything else. If they hear that figure, go out and control what blackgrass you have. And if you have one plant, pull it before it turns into those 6 million seeds. Thanks a mil, John.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Look, as we said there, John had really stark figures in there about the amount of seeds that a blackgrass plant can produce. So look, the story is we just all have to be so careful. We have to be walking our crops. And if we see blackgrass, it has to be controlled there and then. We can't afford to take any time. It can't be left for 1 year and hope that it won't continue. If blackgrass is in your field, the problem is only going to get worse unless you tackle it. So the main thing is there to keep blackgrass under control. Okay, we'll move on to grain markets now. And look, they're falling. It's not a good story in grain markets this week. Matif wheat on Tuesday evening was at €290.50 per tonne. That's the nearby price, whereas the December price was at €274.25. So it dropped €15 per tonne from the week before. So look, markets aren't good. I suppose a number of things playing into them. The grain trends report is in there in the paper, so you can have a read of that. But things like the record wheat crop that's expected in Australia are playing into that factor. And look, the United States Department of Agriculture report is out this week. It's out on Thursday the 12th, so that's going to play into grain prices over the next few weeks as well. Also in that report, look, the oilseed rape price is in there, and we have the native prices for this week. So look, they've also gone down with the other prices. So nearby, I suppose, a spot price on barley is about 297. Look, it's above and below that, and wheat at 308, and the November price then for native barley is at 270 to 285. So they're dried prices, of course. So that's grain prices. Look, you can read the full report in the paper this week. And then on weather, it's not much better on weather. So as I speak here, it's raining outside the window, and that looks set to continue. A lot of water after falling in the last week, and indeed the last number of weeks. But look, the outlook for this week is wet and windy, plenty of showers. And then I suppose the further outlook is wind and cold, and even a wind chill in that wind as well, and wintry showers possibly next week as well. So look, it doesn't look like conditions are going to improve for field work. That draws a conclusion to the podcast this week. So look, we'd love if you'd get in touch, give us feedback on the show. You can contact myself on swalsh@farmersjournal.ie. Keep an eye on the grass weeds, of course, and look, keep the tillage flag flying, and we'll talk to you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.